Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Match Ball for the Everton home game. I'm Dan Moylan, and with me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
If you are watching live on YouTube, welcome along. If you're listening to this or watching this in retrospect, we are streaming this live to our TSB Plus followers post-match, and you can catch the video on YouTube, on the YouTube channel, a little bit later on. Sorry, my voice is going up. So
it's like we do sound kind of knackered.
It's like we've all been outside in the rain for two hours.
It has been absolutely tipping it down. Before we get down to business, just a quick reminder that you can get 10% off your legal fees with levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 15% off as well with your conveyancing until September. To business then. And yes, we're a little croaky, a little bit tired, a little bit wet, but what an occasion today was. I just loved every minute of being back in Elland Road, even the bad bits.
It's a good job we drew, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
it would have felt like quite a downer, I think, if we'd have got to the end of that and I had to trudge out. And it meant the crowd had stayed and we got to have the little moment of the cop chanting Championes at them. And
oh, that. I thought you meant chanting VAR.
No.
That was when I knew I was back watching football in 2021.
Game's gone.
It kind of went full circle because I think I noticed in the first half that the South Stand were very focused on making a fat ginger in the Everton end cry. That was their main target. And it was like, this is good to have football back and all the traditional sing songs and community spirit that we've missed. And then at the end, it went full 23rd century chanting about video replays and computers. And,
speedball!
Yeah, where is our robot referee? And I don't know, where did the... I was just saying to somebody that 90 minutes and all the emotion at the start of the game, and I think we predicted this on one of the podcasts, by the end of the match, that bloody referee and all of that's kind of gone, which is a bad thing in one sense because referee chat is kind of boring, but also a good thing in another sense because the way that game was, although we didn't win, it does feel like that was a proper football match.
That's what I liked about it.
A real football match I just watched.
Sorry, those were the bad bits that I enjoyed. The needle. There was a real edge to it, and I think it's helped that they've relaxed the VAR rules too, because I think that was starting to really negatively impact the game last year. But it was almost like a test tube kind of science lab version of it last year because the stadiums were empty. But when you put real world emotion into it and you see a little bit of needle, some tackles flying around, Richarlison diving, people giving him kicks. Great stuff.
No one kicked Richarlison the whole game. No. Much as he made out, he'd at one point, I think it was Pascal Strike, jumped behind him and he may have touched the back of his head with like his forearm or something. And for 10 minutes afterwards, Richarlison was still touching the back of his head. And,
for the fake blood.
And looking at his hand like, I can't, that hurts so much. I cannot believe I'm not gushing with blood here.
Mm-hmm. Got Yerry Mina getting ready for his jaw transplant, which is the only thing that can possibly cure him. He spent half the first half just wandering around going,
I remember. You remember Yerry Mina from the England Colombia game in the 2016 World Cup? He was the one who was. I think it was him who was scuffing up the penalty spot prior to us taking one.
Really?
He's a prick. Yeah. Is what I'm saying, and a massive prick as well.
He is a big bastard. For a big bastard, he went down easily, didn't he? That is one thing I will say.
Him and Bamford when they had their little contretemps in the southeast corner. What a pair of babies. It's hilarious. Now, where's the bell? Not on the gantry.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Back row of the press area. today. So,
hang on a minute. Gantry gong. This, by the way, for the benefit of the video, this is the famous gantry gong.
How much was that?
About £6 off Amazon.
Yeah, you can feel, and now people watching can see the value.
There you go, Phil. Listen to that. It's got a lovely tone to it, hasn't it?
Yes. But now I get a little telly.
Ah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to ring your bell for, you know.
Little telly bell.
Little telly bell. But it meant I got the replays straight away of what those two were up to, and honestly, grow up.
Was it handbags?
The pair of you. They were just being ridiculous. What it seems to be was they really wanted to have a fight, but they also really wanted to try and get the other one sent off. But they also knew that if they went too far, one of them, they would get sent off themselves. So it turned into basically this big tickling match,
right.
Particularly when they both got up off the floor. And I think kind of Bamford kind of goes in to Mina's midriff, or it's vice versa, but basically ends up sort of giving him like a cuddle.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not working. It's like, come on, lads.
Were they imitating a pantomime horse?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were getting into formation to go galloping down the east of the pitch. But it was all very silly, but also hilarious.
As an owner of a little telly then, well, you don't own it, you're borrowing it. You'll have to smash it up like Victor Arthur if something goes wrong.
Well, if he can do it, I don't see why I shouldn't.
It's weird doing this again, having come from a live game, because normally we
haven't done a match ball.
We can say quite conclusively, like, oh, it was a penalty, wasn't it? And we all kind of agree. Whereas I've no idea. Was it a penalty?
Well, I can tell you everything because I've seen it all twice.
Well, my opinion from the East Stand was it looked like a penalty, because I think Calvert-Lewin got the wrong side of, well, Cooper got the wrong side of Calvert-Lewin, beg your pardon, and just was all over him. But I mean, was the 50-50 involved in it?
What do you think, Michael?
My guess was it was probably Cooper doing Cooperish things, because which is harsh, mate. But you tell me, was it harsh or was it Cooper doing Cooperish things?
It was Cooper doing Cooperish things. It was. It started of six of one and half a dozen of the other, where they are both kind of grabbing each other's shirts. But then Cooper made it full like 10-2 by going like that.
And that's a sign of a man pulling another man's shirt, by the way, for the benefit of the audio recording.
And then putting him down on the floor. And the way that this little screen,
honestly, shut up about your telly.
I don't know if I recommend it or not.
What a cock.
But the replays were on there for quite a long time before the referee decided to go over and have a look at Johnny number 5 by the West Stand.
Mm.
Wally, as the kids probably know him better. So there was that sinking feeling like somebody's got to be looking at this. This is
as soon as
6 minutes.
As soon as the big telly in the southwest corner, lost all the sense of geography now. As soon as our big telly showed VAR, I instantly thought he's giving that.
Yeah, particularly with the lighter touch that it's meant to be applying this year.
Yeah,
you sort of think, oh, I've probably seen something, haven't I? And that added to the fact that
come over and have a look.
It was Cooper. You sort of went,
Seem unnecessary for the referee to go and have a look. It looked, because as soon as I saw it on the little telly,
Christ, honestly,
yeah,
what a cock.
I just thought, well, this is going to be a penalty.
How many inches is your telly?
It's like
Are you an accurate judge of inches?
It's like a small iPad,
right?
That's what I say.
Okay, an iPad mini,
square ball sized.
Square. Do we make iPads?
It's
about the size of a magazine.
It's Fine Magazine that was for sale.
Yeah, but it's landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
That's still how they're doing it with telly, is it? Yeah, for landscape.
I didn't know if maybe in this fancy area they've turned them on diagonal tellies or something.
It's not a square one. It takes like half an hour for it to warm up and then tune in. You get static on BBC Two.
But there was a little bit of that in the first half, wasn't there? What Cooper did. He got caught wrong side a couple of times. Calvin was a little bit loose with one or two passes. He was really, really instrumental and important in the game, but I thought there were moments in that when he was a bit sloppy. He was brilliant, but sloppy at times as well.
I didn't really notice him being sloppy, I have to say. I just thought he was good.
Maybe it was just the tempo of the game. I don't know.
It was a good game.
I think.
That's my conclusion on it. Was it a ding-dong battle, can you say?
Yeah, and it was helped by all that stuff. Did you notice Calvin Phillips shouldering Richarlison off the ball just before half-time? Just ran across him and banged him, put him on the floor. Brilliant. And you're not supposed to be able to do that now because cameras everywhere and VAR happening. Cooper, after the penalty, I wrote down at one point, Liam Cooper needs to calm the F down because he was up for it.
When he did that one in front of the away fans, he was already on a yellow, wasn't he? And I thought, tightrope.
Yeah, and even before halftime, I think he did to Calvert-Lewin what he'd done once. He you tried it again, almost as kind of proving a point. This cross is coming in, so I'm going to grab your shirt just under the throat like I just gave away a penalty doing, and let's see how you like that, Dominic.
And double jeopardy, they can't do me again. Like, you misunderstood.
They can and they will.
But on the on the one hand, you wanted, I don't know, I suppose it's knowing the characters of the players. We've seen Liam Cooper be, you described it as doing Liam Cooper things.
Mm.
So you want Liam Cooper to kind of calm down. Bamford, yeah, keep on at Mina, get him sent off, see if you can do something. So it was, and you know, you're happy about it all over the pitch, really. And it was better that way, that it didn't just pass by as kind of a, you know, a nil-nil draw with nothing really happening and nothing really exciting. And I'm glad that I've come out with some new Everton players that I don't like.
So what's this all about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly what it's about.
And four goals that were exciting, one of which Liam Cooper did kind of get himself very much back into credit with the layup for Rafinha, because it was a really, really good touch to set him up.
Just on VAR, just for a second, while I think about it, it was less present in the stadium than when you're watching it on telly. It felt like it was that looming spectre all the time last season, didn't it? Like, every decision was being pulled apart, whereas I didn't really even think about it until that penalty incident with Cooper and Calvert-Lewin, and then you thought, oh, they're going to look at that, and then they did. But it did feel, not only is the light touch working, but it just doesn't feel like it's completely swamping everything.
Well, on the second goal, I admit, I held back only maybe like 10% of celebration for it, because right in the build-up, Calvin Phillips was wide left, and he'd received a pass much earlier in the build-up, and I thought maybe he was offside.
All right.
And that made me just a little bit hesitant about celebrating, but yeah, it didn't feel absolutely terrible, did it? Apart from the bit where they gave Everton a penalty as a result of it, which I could have done without.
That is how you want. I mean, I know it went against us, but that's how you want to see it applied, isn't it? Really?
It is. They should have just sent off Richarlison and Yerry Mina for being dicks, but yeah.
Richarlison is
other than that, a
little bitch.
He's such a twat.
Yeah,
I don't understand. He's really angry all the time, but it's not entirely clear why. And there was one point, in fact, when he went through. He was kind of on the left edge of our penalty box. And I think he had been fouled about 5 seconds earlier, but instead he just ran and booted the ground and fell over, and then was furiously not being given a free kick for it. It's like, Well, there has to have been a tackle some, like, on you at the time when you go down, at least. Like, just having been fouled a few seconds earlier doesn't mean you can do that. Pathetic.
The shape of the game overall, I thought we were probably marginally the better side on balance, but Everton looked really dangerous on the break quite a lot. And Damari Gray, I thought, was a bit of a threat. They did us a few times with pace.
They had better chances
in wide areas. Yeah, probably they had better chances, but I think we had the better of the game probably.
Yeah.
I think their penalty goal came from Gray going around Stuart Dallas, around the outside, wasn't he? At right back. And then...
like a trailer park girl going around the outside.
And then the second goal was... where was Luke Ayling? Does anybody know? Because it was the same position. And I don't know where Luke Ayling was for the first one and why it was Stuart Dallas. It'll be something to do with man marking that we'll have to go back and watch the game in slow motion to be able to work it all out. But yeah, my question was, why is it Gray going around Stuart Dallas instead of Luke Ayling? Because Luke Ayling is perfectly capable of being beaten at right back if somebody's going to be. And then, yeah, it was, who was at the back post trying to stop them? Was it Strike?
I'm not sure.
Ended up there, or it might have been Stuart Dallas again. Got,
it was far end for me.
It was
the second goal.
Yeah, it was Strike.
Well, because Damari Gray put it through Stuart Dallas's legs, because I was right in line with it.
Then it wasn't Strike.
It was Dallas's legs he put it through, and then beyond the reach of Melier.
But did they get a little bit lucky in the build up to that? It felt like there was
a deflection.
There was sort of a ricochet in the build up.
That's where Strike's involved, because it's Gray who scored the goal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever it was who passed to him played a 1-2 off of Strike. Like, tried to pass it in one direction, it just bounced back to him off Strike, so he passed it to the other guy and he scored. It's not fair, really, especially when we'd given all that build-up to Jordan Pickford. Like, there'd been a big, long U-shit. Yeah. And then I was trying to avoid swearing for the YouTube stream, and I picked the wrong words. It's just, yeah, it's not natural. And then it was from that goal kick that it all started, and I did look at Pickford, and he did a quiet little... gesture at the cop, but I think after Dominic Calvert-Lewin dancing in front of it in the first half, he knew better.
He made himself quite unpopular at that moment, didn't he?
Yeah, which I actually, again, didn't mind. Yeah. Like, fair enough. Keep it going. Keep raising the temperature. let's have a pantomime villain, because it should only be a pantomime. We can shout things
at him. Oh, no, it shouldn't.
Oh, yes, it should.
Oh, there we go.
You know, when the second half, I think it was Dinho was in front, was in taking a corner, and obviously someone chucked a coin at him or something.
It was a lighter.
It was a lighter?
Yeah.
Why does the referee need to pick that up and take it to the fourth official?
Because he needs to keep it as evidence, because it's going to go into his match report.
But, like, it's a lighter, just, you know, it's a lighter. You don't need, they're not going to DNA swab it, are they? You know,
what is this mysterious object?
Get this in an evidence bag, get it down the lab.
It was a big lighter as well. It looked a bit, it looked sort of Mars, fun-sized Mars bar-sized from where I was sat on my perch. It was a sizable object.
It might have been like an antique, a family heirloom. I wonder if part of the taking it over is a bit of theatre to sort of, it's a message to the crowd to say, stop throwing this sort of thing. Otherwise, all are we doing all game is walking over to the side of the pitch with your possessions. Or maybe it's, you know, making it plain to whoever threw it, you can come and collect that at the end of the game. It's going in my drawer, and I'm going to be locking that. And at the end of the day, you can come back, and if you say sorry, then maybe you can have that.
We had about 33,000 flags in there as well. And I don't know if you noticed, if you take like the flappy bit off a flag, you get a stick that's quite aerodynamic. There was one of those made its way onto the pitch. Not to be encouraged, of course.
We're committed to the fluorescent yellow, aren't we?
Very much so, yeah. But I have kept the fluorescent yellow flag that we were assigned for our seats. But in terms of...
What's written on the flags?
Premier League.
Is that it?
Some of the words.
Does it say this is Leeds?
Continue among yourselves. Talk about the equaliser, because I thought that was very nice.
Well, I was going to talk about, you can go and get the flag, but one of the main things that struck me about the flag almost physically was trying to get out of Elland Road at the end. Everyone's being funneled around the back of the cop. Ah, it's better when he's not here, isn't it? I feel a little bit more comfortable. It's like it's just us having a chat.
Should we lock the door?
And you're trying to bob and weave past people, but everybody's got flags in their hand, so they're all about three times as wide as they normally would be. And you might think, oh, there's a gap I can get through, and suddenly somebody whips out this pointy shiv. It's very difficult. The other tactic, though, and I probably shouldn't tell anybody this because everybody will be doing it the next game, but what the hell? If you're coming around the corner of the West Stand, go back into the cop, and then whoosh, along the cop lower concourse, and then out the other end. You cut out, because everybody's gone outside and is funneling along. You can beat the crowd. Don't care now.
Crowd
by going back inside. That's all right. Yeah. And it's funny that the main thing you remember is the Premier League logo.
Yeah, it's still what does actually, that say about I actually noticed about yeah. it. So it's got it's the Leeds badge. This is Leeds, the words underneath, which is correct, and the Premier League logo in the top corner.
I mean, you can be as critical as you like about this sort of stuff, and it's, you know, it's modern fans and blah, and it's the wrong colour. Everybody was waving them about, weren't they?
It was a spectacle, yes.
And it did look great. Like, you can't look at something like that and go, I wish all these people weren't enjoying themselves with these flags. It would be better then. So,
anyway, did you talk about the equaliser?
We talked about...
Getting out of the cop.
I had to go out to the car park, by the way, just to get the flag
I wonder where you'd gone.
Yeah. The equaliser, I really enjoyed that moment because it came at just the right time before half-time, because I think twice in that game it felt like it was getting away from us a bit, because they went in front, obviously, twice. Mm. And then that equaliser, just a really nice all-round move. And that was it. It was Rafinha who did that mad sort of knockdown, wasn't it, that knocked it onto Bamford, who then turned it inside for Click. Is that right? Am I remembering it right?
I can only remember the Bamford bit. Bamford to Click. He felt right somehow that Click was scoring that goal. I don't know why. It feels like it was a... Today, because we've not been in so long, it felt almost like a rediscovery of football in the same way as that Stoke game did.
Yes.
So it felt in some way balanced that he was there to do it. And I thought Click was pretty good today, actually. I know he was tired, but he was good.
He was
good.
Replaced by Roberts, who I thought was also good.
Yeah, I mean, Roberts was his usual self. He did some things brilliant. There was one bit where he controlled a really long ball absolutely brilliantly and then knackered the pass. It was like, so he's always close to being really good.
That 2% you're looking for, isn't it? That sometimes he gets it, sometimes he doesn't. But there's no denying that when him and Shackleton came on, it changed the game.
Yeah, it did.
I thought Shackleton was excellent as well.
Yeah. What Roberts was doing that you wouldn't expect Click to be doing, and it's interesting that he was chosen to do, rather than Rodrigo off the bench, was kind of getting the ball and taking people on, step-overs. That one for the cross that Pickford then had to put out was like, it's great to see our ostensible number 10 kind of going down the wing and beating people. And there's one bit, and you could sense the groan, and it was because he played a good pass to Bamford, but it was just behind him. And Bamford elected to have a moan about it instead of chasing it down. And so it ended up looking like Roberts had made a bad pass. And then a minute after that, Bamford was trying to put Harrison away down the wing. And it was another good pass, but was just kind of behind him. And Jackie went chasing it into the box, trying to win the tackle. And I was like, come on, Bamford, help Tyler out. If you can, you know, not quite make it. You're both making good passes. Just get, I think he was, Bamford had a bit of a maybe the meaner thing. I think he was kind of, he wanted a win, and he wanted, which is fair enough.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Should we discuss, while we're discussing the forward, Rafinha? We'll get to the goal. I'd like to talk about, you know the free kick that was about 40 yards out? Did you notice he was standing on halfway while we were taking an attacking free kick that got taken into the box? And I'll have to watch it back to see if I can get a confirmation of this. I think he wanted to shoot. And because Stuart Dallas, I think it was taking it, was kind of looking at him going, we're 45 yards away from goal. You're not shooting.
No one has ever scored from here.
He went and stood on halfway, like with his arms. Well, it said, well, I'm here if you want to just knock it out and I'll shoot. But because I can't imagine there's any, we haven't got Gianni Vio anymore to kind of plan these things out. But whoever is looking at our attacking free kicks is not saying like, right, Rafinha, you're the furthest man back in front of Melier and everybody else we send strike up to get on the end of any knockdowns. I think he was a bit annoyed that he wasn't allowed to shoot from there. But then we saw him shoot in the penalty area after that great tip-up from Liam Cooper, and that was a very good goal, a really good goal.
He hit, the fury with which he hit that ball, I loved. He was he's angry.
Not just fury, precision, because you'll see on the replays that I enjoyed.
Well, how did you manage to get a replay?
I have a little telly to look at. There's not a gap. There isn't one. He has to curve it out and around and through a load of Everton and Leeds players, because there isn't just a sight of Pickford's post.
Funny because I'm looking at the still of him unleashing that from his foot right now. Actually, it's just popped up.
Can you see a gap and I'm wrong?
No, you can see him opening his body out to do exactly what you're describing. So sadly, you are correct. Just talking about a couple of the other players, Rodrigo, we're finding out now, has got a muscular injury, which possibly explains why he stayed on the bench and wasn't used today. Responded well to it this week.
Are you more excited about Robin Koch's comedy injury?
His pubis, yes. Mm-hmm. Koch has a knackered pubis.
A pain in his pubis.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it is.
Wait, is the pubis the bit above the cock?
I mean, it depends. It's part of him.
We have to Google this, aren't we?
We don't need to. Not on the work Wi-Fi.
It's not.
What is pubis area? Do we want the area or do we want the... it's in front of the pelvic girdle.
Great. Did you know what I liked about today? Resilience. That we showed resilience to come back twice, because we equalised just before half-time, as I mentioned. Great time to equalise. And I thought when they came out, right, okay, we've got them in the dressing room. They've sorted it out now. There'll be great second half. And that little prick scored.
It felt like enough of a reset today, I think, didn't it, after the Scum game, where nothing worked and no one particularly played well. It felt like Rafinha and Jackie were both back on it again. I thought Harrison was great, actually. There was one bit over in front of the West Stand where Harrison had about four players around him.
That was ridiculous.
I want to watch it back because it was just like, how has he still got it?
Yeah.
And he's still got it. And he's still got it. And now he's run away from them.
Because I was on the other side of the ground. I was on the east. I was like, no, he's not getting out of there.
Yeah, there was no way out of it.
He's not getting out of that. But hang on, he's still, it stuck. It was like it was glued to him, wasn't it?
Rafinha did a little bit of that in the middle of the pitch at one point as well. It led to a free kick, actually. I think they just dragged him down in the end because they got tired of his shit and just decided to pull him down. But yeah, I thought those two were both dangerous looking again today. Whereas at Old Trafford, they didn't have
anything. What do you think of the left-hand side in general with Firpo as well?
54 minutes and 45 seconds is when I wrote down Jackie and an exclamation mark. So if anybody is watching the game again, that's when it happened. Fine. Firpo's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, he did some nice like underlapping bits as well, because there was a time when I was sort of in my head willing him to go around the outside of Harrison and he cut inside to take the ball back on the edge of the area. I thought some nice moments, but when he got yanked, I wasn't entirely surprised. Like around the, it was the hour mark, wasn't it, when he went off?
He's been injured in pre-season and he'll be a bit
ramping
tired.
Up. But there was a point, I think it was Damari Gray again, wasn't it, who just coasted past him on the outside just before he got taken off, and I thought, yeah, fair enough.
And he's come from Barcelona where they do like play three and in and then go for a massage, whereas he's been,
and
they
don't want to go outside because Messi says it's raining.
Exactly, whereas he's had to come to Leeds and he's training like 18 hours a day and even on an exercise bike in his sleep and stuff, so the lad is probably tired.
You think moving to Yorkshire would be the culture shock from Barcelona, but it's actually becoming a footballer and working as one is probably the thing that he's struggling to deal with the most. There was a moment, I think it's because we've been out of Elland Road for so long, in the second half when it was, I think it was after Firpo had gone off, it must have been, I was missing Alioski because it was Jackie. I was remembering, because Bielsa's team still plays the same way it did when we were there however many years ago. And I was remembering those nights when we'd be chasing a game and trying to get a win, and we'd have Alioski and Jackie Harrison playing basically as two left wingers, and we wouldn't have a left back anymore. And I was kind of, who's going to do that? And you couldn't see that player. And I was like, oh yeah, he's gone, hasn't he? So that was one of those things, trying to get used to players not being there and players being there and what it's all like.
It's different, isn't it?
It is different.
Was there a moment in that game, Michael, when, because it felt like our entire season and our fate was in the balance at certain moments when we were behind, and I thought, well, that's it. We're going to lose this. We'll never be able to buy a win. We'll probably, if we lose this, it increases the pressure at Burnley. We won't win at Burnley then because of that. And then suddenly we're bottom and we're adrift. And yet the world feels all right now, doesn't it? It feels like it's been put back on its axis.
It sounds like you've been more pessimistic than me there.
No, but the difference is you kind of externalise this quite a lot. But I go on that battle in my head thinking, oh, we'll be all right. And then, but there's another part of me thinking, well, maybe we won't, because if we lose this, then, you know, it all spirals out of control.
I think what was obvious today in a bit like after the Derby game, we went to Bristol and we were good again. And it was like, okay, no, we can still do this. And I think we needed that after the Old Trafford game where nothing was right. And we just needed to check that we weren't broken. And it came out, and within about 5 minutes, it was like, oh no, this is what we remember.
Yeah.
This is fine. This looks like, and Everton are not a bad side. That's the thing. They've got a good manager. They've got loads of good players. They will probably finish somewhere between like 6th and 10th this season, won't they? They're a decent team. They're not mugs.
They beat us last season with Elland Road. So we've done better than we did last year. And it was funny, maybe it's a Premier League thing, but I can't remember which podcast it was. I was looking through the new episode descriptions, and one of them said that they would be discussing Manchester City's slow start to the season. That they played one game. And yes, they lost it, and that's not what you'd expect from Manchester City. And I don't know if they're taking the charity shield into account, but even if we had lost today, I don't know if you could call it a slow start to the season. You've got to be looking at these things of 5 or 6 games. It's not 2.5 games. And what's City done today? They've gone in, they've put Norwich in their place, haven't they?
Yeah, 5-0 today.
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
How do you think Daniel Farke has taken that?
Can we...
I'm not totally disappointed. I think the boys did very well, and they are a very good team in Manchester City.
A word for Jamie Shackie, if we can again, because I thought what he was good at today was he came on and started looking for those little interchanges of passes in the right areas, like playing out of tight areas, giving side to Calvin, then go to receive again. He was dead industrious.
He loves running, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's the thing with Shackleton. He looks like he lives for it. Just like, please let me overlap again. I want to go.
He just ends up in their penalty area, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Whenever he comes on, he will be in their penalty area at some point, and he's quite good for getting... it didn't quite click, and you sometimes wonder if he played more often, it would with Rafinha, but he's good at getting Rafinha in there. Suddenly Rafinha's in the box as well because Shackleton's putting him there, and I don't know how we start a game like that, though, because it was with him and Roberts, and we can maybe look at it for the big podcast in the week, but I was looking at my theory of, you know, we just have players in a circle and nobody in the middle.
There was a point when I noticed that and I laughed, you know.
And the big difference today is that the one player who was in the middle of the pitch, and you'll see him with like four Everton players around him, is Calvin Phillips, who was really good today, and he'll get there. And Robin Koch's problem at Old Trafford was Bruno Fernandes, but the other thing that he wasn't able to do, and maybe he's not as good at doing it, or maybe he'll never be able to do it, or with Fernandes off his case and his pubis back in one piece, he'll be able to do these things, is whenever the ball is popping out of wherever it is in attacking areas, Calvin Phillips moves and just puts it back in. Just goes in, gives it back to Jackie, or is on this side, like, right, click, you have that.
Yeah.
Rafinha, you take this. Rafinha's...
Yeah, I do want to revise what I said earlier on about Phillips, because I don't want this to be about him and his sloppy moments, because he'll obviously iron those out as he gets back up to full tilt, because he was, his positional sense is absolutely unreal. And there's other little bits, like I noticed when I noticed the big circle today, actually, was when what Phillips does really, really well, if you notice when Firpo will attack, let's say with Jackie down the left, Phillips just slides himself over there, goes into that left back position, makes himself available for them going side to side as they tend to do with the ball. And then, you know, same on the other side as well. He'll fill in at right back if, like, Shackleton and Ayling are pushing up the pitch. But it's just the positional discipline, I think, is probably underrated as a skill.
I just don't know how come we keep looking so... Was Melier the man of the match in the end?
I think, you know what? I think there's an argument for Stuart Dallas.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. I've just opened up actually FotMob, which it has some obviously algorithm-based system for scoring players, and Stuart Dallas was our best player on that.
As you just said,
so you, the algorithms are going around in your head. Whereas Calvert-Lewin was man of the match, which I don't think he was that brilliant, to be honest. He's got a penalty, didn't he? But, you know,
yeah. It gave Cooper problems, but not huge amounts beyond that.
I feel like Melier's saves, I feel like he probably should have saved all of them, but there were enough difficult things that something could have quite easily gone wrong.
Yeah.
But there were enough like low skimmers from the edge of the area and on a wet surface and all that.
That in the second half that slid right across, it just kind of went around about 12 yards out and it just broke to them as they were running onto it. And he did that kind of, it looked a bit, in terms of shape, a bit like Schmeichel when he kind of went a bit, you know, starfish. That was a really good save.
And there was the one which I think the header didn't have an awful lot of pace on it, but I still did completely shout myself.
Yeah.
I think it was Keane from a corner towards the end of the game when it looked like it was just heading towards the top corner, but he just stretched his long arms out and plucked it out there.
Can you remember, did you make a noise when that one got deflected right at the very end? I did.
Oh.
Because the stadium kind of held its breath for a second, didn't it? Like, just a split second. And I think I went, ah!
It felt like fate as well, because it deflected off Cooper. And you're just thinking, oh no, come on, Liam. But, and it was close. And there was the one that really worried me, and I suppose it's the concern. We have to have a concern.
Moscow's concern. New feature. There we go.
Well, Leeds are obviously, we all know that we're getting relegated because we haven't signed a midfielder. So the concern is that they set up Dominic Calvert-Lewin with possibly the easiest through ball behind the back of Pascal Struyck midway through the second half. And I think it might be the one you're thinking of when Melier ran out and blocked it, and it wasn't a particularly good shot. But it was one of those where you could see it. I always feel like, because I'm terrible at football, if I can see a pass before a player does it, then it was pretty obvious. And we were just so square. Struyck didn't know where he was going, so they just passed behind him in a diagonal line.
They did do that a few times today. They did it to Gray as well. He was sort of always running in behind the fullback and the centre-back, and it did feel a little bit too easy.
It might be a relief in the next game, not the Crewe match, but Burnley, because they're not going to be playing diagonal balls for Chris Wood, are they? I mean, come on.
Who knows what he's got up his sleeve.
So we may have less to worry about in terms of our defenders being span around and having to look at Melier, and he goes, I will save this.
He was a little bit unlucky with the penalty, actually. He went the right way.
Yeah.
But he took it well, did Calvert-Lewin.
We haven't made enough of the end of the game, because the referee didn't give us any chance to have the potential penalty reviewed, and also blew up while we were attacking still, so that he would not have to review it. And I thought Darren England, he let it go, and he didn't put up with too much.
But did you not think
nonsense from the players? But
Luke Ayling held onto the ball for the throw-in, didn't he? Did they not complete the check at that point, because he was hanging on until they completed the check?
Well, no, he blew the final whistle, and then it was all like, we're all off home, lads.
Yeah.
So there was no time to...
Maybe his bus was going or something.
I mean, what would you... Yeah, well, this is it. Did he have an urgent appointment? Because I don't know how it would work if everybody's like halfway down the tunnel. Jordan Pickford's got his towel and he's got his gloves and he's clapped the fans, and half of them have... You know, they're giving shirts to children. And suddenly, because it took, 5 minutes? Some of the stoppage time in the first half was for other things. It took a long time. It was about 3 or 4 minutes to sort out the penalty in the first half. 3 or 4 minutes after it had happened at the end of the game, you've got the things being set up for the post-match interviews. Everybody, the police are coming on, half the people are on the M1. And at that point, if he suddenly goes, oh, it's a penalty... Is everybody coming back? Do we have to do it tomorrow?
Didn't that happen with Scum last year? Didn't they get called back in?
Yeah,
they
were like, Brighton, wasn't it?
On the way off the pitch, and they went, oh, actually, there was a penalty here.
Probably at Brighton away. They get loads of shit, don't they? Let's finish on a nice, high, positive note, because I feel lifted by today. I think, obviously, we'll start to see how the season takes shape. But it
like
felt,
the Lighthouse family.
Yes, it will. It'll take shape over the coming weeks, but I feel more relieved after what happened at Old Trafford that we... It feels like we put down a bit of a marker today. We demonstrated our resilience, came back into it twice, could have won it in the end, but not losing, I think, was an important thing.
And it was brilliant to be back.
That's what I was going to
you,
say.
You really have to say it. Like, it was great.
Did you cry?
We now all have COVID.
Did you cry?
A little bit.
Yeah. If we've got it, Delph's given it us.
Yeah, I think it was the massive marching on together.
Yeah.
It got to the world, and my voice just did a little bit of that on it, and I just thought, just look straight ahead. Yeah. I think there was quite a bit of that going on as well. People not wanting to look to the side, because it's like if we all look straight ahead, then no one's crying, and it's fine, isn't it?
I did tear up. Yeah, it was. It was quite emotional.
It was great. That's what I wanted, in truth.
And I thought the like the applause / silence or whatever for those that we've lost would be the thing that kind of consumed me. But because of the way that it ebbed and flowed, that it was set up, I think there was, because it was so loud in the stadium, you couldn't hear the PA announcer doing it. Like started off, so there was still a lot of songs flying around, and it just kind of naturally flowed into applause, didn't it? So then the players picked up on the cue from the crowd and started applauding, which, because it was applause, it then span off back into song again, and the crowd started singing. So that was kind of lost a little bit, but I don't know, it doesn't mean we've done a disservice to those people, I don't think. I think
everybody's clapping because they want to remember them, and they hear names of people that they loved, and the way football crowds, silence is always something. The reason silence is significant is because it's very difficult to get everybody to be quiet in a football stadium. It's a significant thing that has to descend from outside, but the way we have always celebrated footballers that we like is to clap and cheer them. So it should apply after death as well, that we remember them exactly, you know. Let's pretend Jack Charlton scored a goal. 1, 2, 3. Yes, because that's what we used to do to recognise what we felt about Jack Charlton, is we clapped and cheered. So clapping and cheering to remember them is absolutely perfect.
There are so many people that were being commemorated there. It would have been impossible. You could have done like a 3-hour service before the game and not given them all enough time with it, but it's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? You want to do it as well when it's absolutely full, don't you? You know, you could have done a more in-depth tribute and stuff at, you know, 1:30 if you'd have wanted to, but you'd have been doing it to an empty crowd, and we're never going to get that moment we should have had after each of those deaths. It should have been, this is a game where we all concentrate on Jack Charlton and on Peter Lorimer, and you know, that moment is gone now, unfortunately, but we can...
Doesn't mean we forget them, though.
No, exactly.
It's been a crazy 18 months minimum, and you just have to do the best you can in good faith. And as long as that is being done, then you don't need to worry about the absolute fine details of everything.
But wasn't it brilliant to be back? Just absolutely magical. It felt like we'd never been away, actually. There's so many things that you remember, little behaviours, and see the people around you, and faces you've not seen for like a year and a half, but I really enjoyed just being back. And something funny about the biblical rain added to it all. And it's quite warm in Leeds, isn't it, today? But it's just absolutely twatted it down a couple of times. And
yeah. Credit to the square ball sellers, actually, who were out in that, wringing out their T-shirts in the tunnel at some point.
If you do want a dry copy, we are selling them on the website. Don't forget.
Yeah, and thank you. If you bought one as well, thank you very much for supporting us.
They're in the Holbeck as well. So you can get a dry one and then spill beer on it. The perfect day.
Yeah, so do check out the website for the mag. And if you fancy getting involved in TSB Plus as well, so you can watch these being live streamed post-match, then have a look on the website, thesquareball.net. We really appreciate
it's definitely
it.
Definitely the croakiest one we've done in quite a while.
It is, but it feels more authentic. Like the number of times we've sat in here and watched games and then spoken about them afterwards, it just feels completely different doing this. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed this and I've enjoyed the day so much, even though we didn't quite win.
But there's an energy to it, isn't there, that you don't get from just watching it on telly, I think.
Exactly. Right, we'll catch up with you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.